The book of Job, the 14th chapter, Job chapter 14, and I shall read verses 1 through 15 and speak to you this morning on the subject of death. Job chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath is past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. Look at verse 10. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? Verse 12. So man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Verse 14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verse 25, Paul, speaking of Jesus, said, for he must reign until he hath put all enemies under his feet. Verse 26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. In 1 Samuel, the 20th chapter, verse 3, David said, as truly as the Lord liveth and thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to ask four questions and try to answer them with Scripture. Number one, why is death an enemy? Number two, how can death be destroyed? Number three, when shall its destruction be declared. And finally, what is the reward of the destruction of death? Question number one, why is death an enemy? Three simple answers. Number one, because of the personal application. Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so then death hath passed upon all men, because all have sinned. And even though we do not like to think about death, and even though we think of the aged dying, or our neighbors, or our friends, or someone else, we must take the scriptural truth that it is applicable to everybody. Death came by one man, and death has been passed down to all. It's an enemy because there is a divine appointment involved. I don't know if you listened carefully to verse 5 while I read the text or not, but I'll repeat it. The Bible says, seeing his days are determined, man's days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. And I believe with every ounce of my being that man's days are determined, that the number of man's months are in the hands of God. And for every person in this world, God has appointed a boundary for each and every person, and they're not going to pass over that boundary line. Death is a divine enemy because of divine appointment. And then it's an enemy because of the presence of sin. As long as we're in this world, we're going to still have sin in our flesh. James 1:15 says, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. And John said in 1 John 1 and 8, if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In the 10th verse, he said, if we say that we have no sin, we make him or God a liar, and his word is not in us. So death is an enemy because of the ever presence of sin. Number two, how can death be destroyed? Not by building a super race, as Hitler tried to do. For Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In California, there is a man by the name of O.L. Jaggers, whose chief protege is in St. Louis, Missouri, whose name is Oxendine. And Jaggers and Oxendine teach that if you'll come to either of their congregations and let them baptize you in water, that you will live forever in your flesh. They teach immortality of the flesh, and only if O.L. Jaggers or Oxendine baptizes you, then you will never be sick again, and you will never die. And anybody that believes this has something wrong from here up. Amen. The Bible does not teach immortality in the flesh. And you hear me this morning, there is no man living who can baptize you into immortal life in the flesh. There is no man living who can baptize you into eternal life, because baptism has nothing whatsoever to do with the salvation of a man's soul. So how can death be destroyed? Not by building a super race, not by following some false religionist, but it can be destroyed only by the mighty power of God. In the 11th chapter of the book of John, in verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26 says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? So death can be destroyed only by God's power. Question number 3, when shall its destruction be declared? Well, when a man is born again and becomes a child of God, he has the assurance then, because he has been born twice, he will only die once. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from what, you tell me? From death unto life. And so that day you were saved by the grace of God. That day you were born of the Spirit. That day the Spirit of the Lord quickened your soul. That day you answered the effectual call of the gospel. That day when regeneration came, spiritual death forever vanished for you. When will death's destruction be declared? In regeneration, as has to do with the soul, as has to do with the body, when the morning of the first resurrection rolls around. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And the greatest thought I can have this morning is the thought that Jesus could come even before I finish this sermon. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, listen now, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That reads through verse 57. So let me affirm once again, death's destruction is declared in regeneration, as has to do with man's soul. He'll never die the second death. Death's destruction, as has to do with the body of the saved man, is declared the morning of the resurrection, when Christ shall receive his own to himself. What is the reward of this destruction? Well, first of all, eternal salvation is received the moment you're saved by God's grace, the moment you're regenerated by the Spirit of God. I hate to be in a public gathering somewhere and Somebody be called on to pray, and they wind up their prayer, and Lord, in the end, save us in heaven. That's contrary to Scripture. A man is saved in this life, or he's not saved at all. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So the first reward of the destruction of death is that eternal life is received immediately upon regeneration. And you're not just saved for today and tomorrow, next year, or a millennium. When the Lord's salvation reaches your heart, you're saved forever and forever. Another reward is physical limitations are placed down in defeat when Jesus comes. Last week when we received news that one of our little grandsons might be gravely ill, we prayed so hard until the tests were fine. And when the doctor ruled out leukemia, we praised God for His blessings and thanked Him a little more for His goodness and for His kindness. And I'm sure that if I were to start on the front row and go to the back row, there's not a person in this building but what has some burden or some physical limitation or some heartache that maybe only you and the Lord know about today. But here's one preacher that will tell you that every one of our physical limitations will be over when they're laid down at the feet of Jesus when He comes. I believe that. 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. And I'll pause right here to tell you again, the world doesn't know you, and the world doesn't know the Lord, and the world doesn't love you, and the world doesn't love the Lord. The world despises the Lord, and the world despises the Lord's people. Therefore, it knows us not, because it knew Him not. But that's not all He has to say. He says, beloved, now, not next week or after judgment, but now are we the sons of God. And the greatest title you can have this morning is that title of being a son of God, a child of God. Behold, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And praise the Lord, there's coming a time when we'll be like Him, when we see Him as He is. A third reward of death's destruction will be eternal happiness and glory. In the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 21 says, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, and every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. I don't think heaven is a myth. I don't think heaven is a figment of religious imagination. I believe heaven is just as much a place as Jacksonville, Texas is a place. And one of the rewards for the destruction of spiritual death That comes of regeneration and of physical death that does with the body and comes with the second coming of the Lord. The third and final reward will be eternal happiness in heaven. As happy as you are this morning, something could come your way before the sun sets in the western sky tomorrow that happens. The first verse I read in my scripture lesson was, man that's born of a woman is of a few days and full of what? Trouble. And we're not going to be out of trouble, so we're out of this world. And we're not going to be out of this world until the Lord calls us to be with Him. But then, there will be eternal happiness. John said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Revelation 21. Now John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Listen now, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things are passed away. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Let's sing, Bob.
Number 254.
Let's stand together. Our Father, put Thy blessings upon this message this morning. Speak to every heart in this building. Have Thine own way. And do for us what needs to be done, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.